Thank you.
You will help supply the wherewithal and give backup reasoning as the red man begins to reclaim his place. And you're going to want to do that because in the end, the ancient brotherhood is the brotherhood that does teach you to live in balance. Ones want to call him pagan because he has become a primitive symbol, having been brainwashed the way that everybody else is into a modern world of forgetfulness. And if they're going to have it, I'm going to have it, and I'm tired of being put upon until you've lost your way. And the red man in the United States of America, the aboriginal people in the outback areas, have their connection with God, but they certainly are not mentally capable of leading a world back into light, only into balance. And maybe it will appear that there's no difference, but there is. Because the human has come far enough along to have technology that can destroy you, but he doesn't know what to do with it. He has not the capability of utilizing it. We are going to be here. In case you grow enough to be able to utilize it, we will be able to teach you how to control it. Or you will go back to the very primitive state, at which point all you'll have are the ancient oral traditions to guide you through to rebuild. But you need the experience of going through a reclamation of both your own freedom, as whatever races you may be, casting aside or into harmlessness those elements that have infiltrated and represent the adversarial course or the Antichrist, the humanness that does not allow you to move beyond a humanist perception. You see, so far, prophecies, everything that you experience is built on human perception of a physical manifestation. There will be earthquakes, there will be this, there will be that, there will be armies, there will be blood. Blood is something of a human expression. We don't talk about those things in the higher perception. We know the difference in emotional energy experience and this that is manifest. This is why the invalidity of just saying, I believe on Jesus Christ, number one, that wasn't his name. Number two, it is pronounced differently in every language. Number three, it was a physical man. And to drink his blood and eat his flesh, whether it be in the symbolic form of bread and wine, why ruin the bread and why ruin the wine? And drinking the blood will only get you into a satanic type of lockup. It was the Christed energy who came to say, hey buddy, you guys, you've got infinity. What are you doing? Well, let's kill him. I mean, he's got the secret. So what you're doing and what you're finding is that the true messengers come to your place are always the ones that are killed. Because they bear the truth. And that is that you go on and on and on and on. And you experience over and over and over in all sorts of universes. And when you come to a dying planet, and I mean dying, unless you can reclaim this, she will be put into cleansing and she will save herself. Because in 1987, you stopped your calendars. You just didn't know it. And you have begun again. Already. And what kind of a world is inhabited is what's up for grabs. Because I have to repeat, And this is the understanding that you're going to have to reach first, or you're not going to be able to understand any of these other things, is that you are a projected manifestation of God's thought, running around experiencing. Therefore, the reality of existence is residing with God, Creator, who put you out there somewhere on a stage, and you are the actors, and where Little Crow is going to come in and be able to give you some guidance and some support, is that he will tell you, this ain't nothing. You've done it before, and you're just playing it out. The script is written, and you're the players, and you're going to play it out. Ah, but God gives you free will, reasoning, choices, and you do have the capability of rewriting it. You don't have to end it like they tell you it has to be ended. If a fortune teller tells you you're going to be hit by a Mack truck and killed on Thursday, do you know what? There won't be a Ford truck in the world that can kill you. You'll go find a Mack. And if everybody is thrusting off these prophecies on you, you're going to make sure they come to be. And the reason you're going to make sure they come to be is because the other plan 2000 of the adversary is to depopulate your planet, make South Africa, for instance, a nice recreational area for the elite after they get rid of all of the disease and the blacks. Oh, they'll keep a few blacks around for servants. Don't kid yourselves. With me so far?
Yes, I am. I know and understand and accept my responsibility.
You with me, Silverhawk?
Yes.
All right. Let's hear some more. Go ahead.
I would like to speak to Mr. Silverhawk.
I knew you would, so we have him attached to a microphone.
I would like to comment on number 8 in his amendment and would ask him, did he hear your message from yesterday?
No, he will not have, I don't believe, unless court had it.
No. How do you do, Ron?
I believe that... what he is saying here is what is needed. I am afraid that I can't really say that I would have all of the answers, but this is by far the best that I have seen from anyone. And somehow I had the feeling, in fact I sent him a letter last night, I have the feeling that something to do with my lawsuit is going to play a key role as far as his words are in the paper here, and I would like to ask him, did he read my newsletter that was in this week's issue of The Contact?
Ron, no, I didn't.
I believe that...
Can you hear me?
Let me see what page it was on. Perhaps Rick would know where it was located.
Rick's been spending all his time with you.
All right. I have given a lot of thought because I was first told not too long ago that if I am critical of a situation and request change, then I must have some kind of a solution for that change.
Yes.
Even though I am being critical of a number of things, I have not been able to sit down and to consciously realize what I would do in the event I was successful in my lawsuit. And I made the statement to install honesty and truth and God, or the acknowledgement of a supreme being, back into government. exist. I believe that what you're saying in the Resounding Amendment is what I have been thinking. However, I can't take credit for it. I'm saying that it appears to me to be a logical resolution to the problems that we have. I think that government is going to react very shortly. I feel that there is going to be a great deal of adversity over your words. And the reason that there is going to be is because your words strike home in many, many different areas. And I really, really enjoyed reading the Refounding Amendment. I think that this might be something that we can look at as far as moving ahead. And I committed in my letter to you last night some assistance from a monetary standpoint. And there seems to be that that is going to have to be the answer to a number of problems that we're facing. And I think that I have to be realistic and address the number of problems from a number of different directions. And I do have to have some solutions. And I would like very much to sit down and talk with you as far as the amendment is concerned and future plans that you and maybe I and maybe some others might have regarding those words.
Well, I'm at your service there anytime.
Well, I'm afraid that being at my service may not be the answer, I think. You may have to be accountable to someone else. However, I would like to be of assistance in implementing a great number of things that you said. Is this something that just came to you, or is this something that you've been working on for a period of time?
It's something I've been working on since 1979, seeking a solution to this problem we have of the ever-encroaching tyranny of this planet. And I've been in meditation with the Great Mind and with the host and working directly with them since 1979, consciously stalking this solution. And it's been a very long and involved process. And it finally gelled with Joseph Stumpf's work with the Ultimatum Resolution, laid the groundwork and the foundation for the Refounding Amendment. I don't think, you see, there was a lot of problems with Joseph's work, and it was frightening a lot of people, the idea of dissolving the government and leaving us vulnerable and open to all kinds of further usurpations and chaos and everything else. Well, we really were seeing that wasn't going to be a powerful and adequate enough instrument to regain this country. So the Refounding Amendment was the outcropping of the Ultimatum Resolution. And it really is the final, it's what it is completing the revolution that was started in 1776. In my perception, we never finished the job, and it's about time we did.
I think that what I'm seeing in your words is something that was started a long time ago, and I hadn't really given it some thought as to when they were actually started, but I can see your connection. And in my lawsuit, I used the phrase, I want to use the system to correct the system.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
However, if I'm unsuccessful, then I will use any means available and or necessary.
Yes. We use the best.
There's pain coming up, and I wish it could be avoided. However, I'm a realist, and I don't think that it can be. But I'm certainly going to strive to those ends.
What did you say is coming up?
I see a lot of pain coming up.
Pain.
But, oh, well, there's a lot of pain right now.
I mean in the physical sense.
Oh, there's that too. Everything's out there.
And I wish I could avoid it, but I can't see any alternative to it. Although I'm we strive to not let it happen.
These are birth pains, is the way I perceive it.
You all are going to have to go back and look at how it was. I think that every patriot, everyone who claims to want to fix this, needs to have required study the Federalist Papers with particular attention to some of those items. You see, you have coming up now what you had coming up then when the Constitution itself was written. You're going to have to face the fact that most of, quote, your founding fathers, as you call them now, today, you look back and you think, oh, they were so godly. Those were slaveholders. They were not godly. There were some godly, and they did recognize, quote, a higher being. But your nation was not birthed one nation under Christ. Come off it. You're going to have to look squarely at what you are. You are a conglomeration of humanoids. And you're going to have different lineages, even in your extraterrestrial ancestry. You will have had some different experiences, although most of you who will be bringing to a conclusion a revolution will find that you have experienced in almost all of those universes, so that you would be qualified as leadership quality in this, what we call the mop-up crew. I don't like to put it that way because all of you are really tired of swabbing the decks, but you see, each thing, if you had the wherewithal 5 years ago to do it, you would not have done it right. So part of it, you know, you say, well, but they're tying up the money and we could do so much. What would you do? If you don't know what to do, you're going to do the wrong thing even with your resources. And your enemy is planning on that happening. You're going to have to go back beyond the Constitution. Most of your founding fathers were right out of Freemasonry. And the entire structure of Washington District of Corruption was built on the Masonic symbols even. The streets are laid out according to the Masonic symbols. Do I hate Masons? I love Masons. They come into a community and they think they are just doing wonders. But do I like Freemasonry as it was set up? No. It is, without a doubt, evil in its entire secret, that's the best word, dealings.
Anything that's secret is probably, that needs secrecy is probably evil.
Right, and they haven't known what to do with us here. That's what's the problem. You can work within the system under the laws that they lay down for themselves. You don't need to go out and break all those laws. We talk about thou shalt not take the mark of the beast. You don't even know, number one, what it is. You perceive and you think you know what it is. Is it a computer system? Is it a computer chip? Is it this? Is it that? Is it a cashless society? Come on.
It's a place in the heart.
It is within. Within. And they can hang microchips all over you, and if you stay at the frequency of the lighted God, they can't do a blame thing to you. They can murder you, granted, and they can make life miserable while they pulse you. But you will be able to even counter that. That's why you ones are still alive. And you can carry 13 chips in both of your hands. And what is that going to mean? Nothing, except convenience at the market. If you've got a bank account, they'll scan your hand, you can get your groceries. They're after your soul. And they're after controlling all their robotoids. And they're after controlling and hopefully capturing your soul. And that's up to you. And guess what? All those sweet little Christian troublemakers will isolate themselves out, end up blaming God because they're all deaded and suicided, and starving to death out there on the street because Jerry Falwell will get up there and say, I'm a Zionist and proud of it. Don't take the mark of the beast. Now, he's got 15 in either hand, and they're feeding him all this stuff. And those evangelists are going to convince the masses of people that have any belief in God and Christianity at all that they mustn't take this mark. And therefore, the government, the adversary, will know exactly who you are, you troublemakers. And so you may not have a chip in your hand, but you're going to be very hungry in the concentration camp and totally worthless and useless to God.
I got a different script in mind.
Yeah, and you've started to write it. There's something else that the two of you who are beginning to see the validity of each other have to know. All of the answers do not reside with one, any more than free energy resides with just one. You're going to have to come together, iron out the differences, and like a good government should be, worked out for the best of the people's good. One nation, again, under God, creator in balance, the universal mind, the highest source. That which does unto another the good things because you'd like them to treat you that way. You can go into your Bible and look at the Ten Commandments. And when you get to make the Sabbath a holy day, you know, and pay your tithes, guess who put that in there? Do you really think God did that?
It was the committee, wasn't it, Ron?
Hey, now I understand why he told Rick to read Federalist Paper 48 and 49, but he should put 47 with it also. All three of them are applicable to what was just said.
Well, and all of you are going to have a lot of fun as you work this out. Part of your problem is that you don't have the resources to run back and forth and around the country. Ron will. And Ron has offered to help us to get on a solid foundation here. But he needs to get out because the Treasury Department says, well, we're not going to release those funds that you started shipping through until you're out. Well, everybody,
you know what? I might just have a little fun with them over that. However, I'll wait and do that after I get the transactions completed.
Well, I just said that in this room because you can bet now that we have a prayer bank behind us. Let's have it all together, kids. The Justice Department and I told Orma this early, and she just about had a breakdown, and she said, I know that until he's out of there, they're not going to release any of those funds. And so when you told Rick, they're not going to release any of those funds until I'm out of here, and they told me so.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it is. You don't think that you're having any impact, but I'd like Ron Jackson to tell you what he's getting back about the contact, about this little paper that, you know, nobody subscribes to because everybody's too scared. And in the government, they're too damn cheap. You're right.
Everybody's right. I'm not sure of the exact numbers, but I've received personally probably 400 to 450 direct replies, and the majority of them, I can feel from what they're writing, is that they are not subscribers. However, I'm getting second and third and fourth responses from some of the readers. And really enjoying it. However, I'm getting requests that they're asking me to confirm some things that I can't. On the other hand, yesterday I received one letter that there's no question in my mind. It came from someone that was induced to write to me, and it was from a fairly high up person. I can tell by the wording of the letter, and the person who was doing the writing was somewhat intimidated. So I think that probably the reaction that I'm getting from contact is as widespread as, well, more so than, for example, the New York Times would be giving, receiving responses from Europe, Canada, one from South America. I finally received one from South America, two from Hawaii, one from Taiwan, several from Canada, and I finally got every state in the union.
Ron, can you share some of the feedback you've gotten from John about the contact?
John is a realist, and he is one of these people that aren't, well, isn't really easy to impress, but his words have been, what are you telling that dinky little newspaper all of this information for? Because he's getting it from the Justice Department level. He's also receiving it from the legislative branch of government. And he knows a number of those people. And I told him that I will not stop doing what I'm doing, and that based on the collective opinion of the people with the paper, I will continue to give them anything that they will take. And he he still is a little amazed by it, and I think he'll probably want a subscription to it, but I think he wants to be out of the country before he starts it.
Would you care to share the feedback that you got from Justice yesterday?
Oh, I'd love to.
You mean from our Hellcats?
The three-person in Justice Department.
Butch.
Her name is Lila Dean Acheson.
Anybody in here know who that is?
Dean.
Well, you'll know Dean. This is, yes, sweet little innocent lady.
She called me up because I had made the comment that she was a student of Hegel and Lenin, as was Strobe Talbot, the number two man in Justice Department. And then I sort of stuck the needle in a little further, and I called her Butch, inferring that her femininity wasn't what I would be. And she was furious with me, and I said, well, why should I assume that you are any different? Mr. Clinton picks people with alternate lifestyles and seems to put them in a position of power. And she was very, very upset because of the comment. Now, to give you an example, here is the number three person within the Justice Department that already knows what I had said, or the comment I had made about her. And I happen to believe every word that I'm saying. I know for a fact that she also studied Hegel and Lenin. And as far as I'm concerned, the entire administration philosophically agrees with the writings of leftist people. So therefore, I can conclude that based on their remarks, and also the remarks that were made not too long ago by Robert Reich, the Labor Secretary, whereas he was complimenting the government of East and West Germany, what he was saying to me is that he would like to see the Fourth Reich coming back in. Well, he's got a little surprise, as well as Mr. Clinton and all the rest of the people. They do have leftist leanings, but we're getting down into personalities. The thing that I'm saying here is that the contact is making a much, much larger difference than even the people with contact, I think, believe. And I'm hearing it from probably one of the few friends that I have had over my lifetime, and when he says something, he means it. So I am greatly appreciative of the efforts of contact, and know that they're going to make a substantial difference in anything in the future.
Well, you've handled it properly, too. You see, as we began the little paper, there was a purpose for it. And now we are beginning to reap the rewards of that original purpose. And we don't talk about ETs, except in the court, of course. You know, the judge sits up there and the attorneys get up. And, oh, well, but they hear from these ETs. Well, we're not interested in ETs. We have to remind everyone that no matter what you believe in, if it be a higher energy, you are believing in an ET. Because if it isn't on your place, it's extraterrestrial, I don't care what it is. So you've got a situation where we have now evolved and everybody kind of wonders about it, but nobody really bothers to ask much about it anymore. So Hatton's just in there, he's just a journalist and along with Rick and everybody else. And the more down to earth we can present the truth from someone like Ron Jackson, or I don't care who it is, as long as it's the truth. And very frequently the truth is not presented there because someone has written something that is so good as an example of that which is not the truth that we will use it. So our purpose was not to make this the most read magazine like Mademoiselle on the globe. It was to call the people that we need. And obviously the reason you need protection is that you're not just going to reach the people that you need, but the ones that are going to be your enemy are already going to know that they're on notice, that it's not going to be tolerated. And when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty, I have a very large ship, and I have shown it. And I will show it again. We're getting very, very close to integrating a lot of activity with you. But it's still before its time, other than the ones that you perceive running around with you now who are humanoid. Yes, indeed, we do have ones among you. And on occasion, we have had to send shuttlecraft for one reason or another in a protective shielding for you ones. And this is really hard for my own group to understand that I might just take out something. I prefer to call that uncreating. On the other hand, if I am going to allow my people just to be pulsed or beamed or blasted out of here, what in the world kind of anything am I? So we have a lot of perception changing to be made. We had to begin, and it's taken all of this period of time and incredible hours spent writing to bring what we have brought so that ones can go. And as they read, get their confirmation or hear their call. Something will come up in these journals, in these papers. You have to hear your call. And it is a rare, rare person who will hear it in the middle of the night and make any sense of it at all. You have to come into contact with something. And then it has to begin to make sense to you. And that has been the purpose. And someday, yes, it probably will be the voice of the people. Because as long as you have a controlled media where they're going to feed you exactly what they want you to hear and see, there is no freedom. You've got to get, first of all, an outlet so you can get on radio. And then television. And then movies. You've got to begin to stop the brainwashing, and then began to recover. But at this point, you better get those protocols. I'm telling you, we don't need to even talk about who they are. You're going to find the Communist Manifesto goes right along with it. The Nazi program goes right along with it. Phoenix One went right along with it. MK Ultra, Monarch goes right with it. And to get a society, you get control of their gold. You get their economy. Then you get their educational system, their churches. And then you just flat brainwash them. You get the press. And then you feed this society of tranced, entranced, well, hypnotized beings, and all you're doing is just feeding in this data. And they're going to act exactly like they're told to do. And then once you can start like they have already started and introduce computer chips, all they've got to do is just beam frequencies at you. But if you have a receiver on the other end, it isn't even that difficult. Now, how do you know that you can rise above a computer chip once they put that in? Dorma is a very good example. She sits with three and knew when we put them in. And every now and then, there'll be an adversarial energy that will try to get through. And it is hopeless out there if you don't know what you're doing. There has to be a level of command within that says, oh no, you're interesting, but get the hell out of here. Just because something talks to you. You see, Ron will not hear voices. You ones who are truly receiving will not hear voices. That's schizophrenia. Every now and then you'll think you heard a voice. But when you stop to really think about it, you will be experiencing in a vision and you'll simply know. And it's hard. You'll from time to time say, well, why don't you just tell me in English? Well, we're trying. That means writing. That means experiencing. And it means that some of you have got to have those receiving chips. But we don't put them on the forehead and we don't put them on the hand. And we never do it without permission. You ones have got to stay in contact with us. And it takes a while. Right now, I can call Dorma to come and write, for instance, and she'll go on with what she's doing. And then it'll get serious. I really would like you to come and write. Well, then it becomes a very personal thing. Well, I'm not sure it's me or you. Well, let's just try writing and we'll see. Well, why don't I plant this petunia and then we'll see. Now, what is going on? Is she being really hateful to me? No. She really can't truly discern. And therefore, when I have had to have her, I will incapacitate her some way. It isn't like I hit her. It's just I kind of knock her out a little. But pretty soon, she's got the picture. She's a wreck, and I need to talk to her or someone of my team. So we have to understand the communication system, first of all. And it comes through this type of knowingness. I don't have to understand it, she realizes, but I do have to be receptive to it, and I have to clear that circuit. And until we can learn to put our conscious thoughts aside and allow a message to come through, you're going to have the confusion. And sometimes when things are going very bad for her and we come down here for a meeting, we have to let her talk a while about her own problems in this room. And then it's hard even then to clear up the circuit so I can get through. When we first started this, I would sit her for 4 hours without moving a blame muscle. I'm better about that now. You know, she would get through and couldn't walk from stasis. Well, now we have a little more personality, but she's not integrated into it very much at all. So when one say, well, I know that you know Doris, you have to understand that no, she doesn't. If you push the right keys and talk about the right thing, she can repeat to you, and because she experiences with us and with me, she will know the manner in which I may have spoken that, whether that was in jest, humor, or really serious. And when she comes out and says, I have a serious commander today, everybody better pay attention. She means it. And there are some subjects that make me more serious than others. But what is happening now is a joyful time because the players are coming together that can get something done. This would be a good place to bring ones who literally have a contribution to make. Because with the crystal here, this place is safe. On the other hand, there is going to be more notoriety from various and sundry ones, let's say out of the Salt Lake area, where you might want to go because the facilities may be better and other people may want to join you more there. But you better be thinking about the ones who won't join you if you come here. I don't think Mr. Greitz, for instance, would want to drop over to your little constitutional meeting over here with Hatton. Because to him, I'm a 9.5-foot reptile, and I really enjoy it. So it's time, as you ones free up now, with some of these tremendously good ideas, you'll be able to sit down and formulate the rest. And when you get your economy back under control enough that you have some kind of a bit more stability or capability of function, you don't need Washington, D.C. or any of that federal government. You may well choose to put your government somewhere else. And when we think about Tehachapi, forget that for here.
Well, do they have an outhouse in Tehachapi?
That's all there are. It's very backward.
I just wanted to say that Colonel Greitz does support this amendment and has endorsed it publicly at our rallies and has declared that he will endorse it all around the country at his spike meetings.
Be careful. Let's not riffle Greitz's meetings, but I want to tell you something. This young man is being given every opportunity, and always, as with a mother and a wayward child, hope springs eternal in the breast, especially of humans. And with God, it springs infinitely eternally. But at this moment, Bo Greitz is in the payroll of the IRS, amongst other things, in your government. And for ones to go off to those spike training classes where you learn to use guns and little old ladies use wooden knives because you can protect yourself if you know how, you are getting on a roster and you will, you're going to be pulled down.
It appeared to me that Mr. Greitz could use an estrogen shot. He's going through a midlife crisis.
Yes, he is. But some of you macho boys fell for the little butterflies. I call them my little monarch butterflies. And whether or not you realize it, you're used. And when I say you're, I'm talking specifically about some others, not you. So you is a generic term.
Commander,